League of Ireland Late Night
on Off the Ball.
Nice to know that Grimsby Town are listening to League of Ireland Late Night for your takes here, Mark, and good sales pitches on Derry City players.
Join me, Cameron Hill, on League of Ireland Late Night every Friday night at 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
We're going to turn our attention to the weekend's Camogie because it's Cork versus Galway in the senior final on Sunday at 5:15. Sarah O'Donovan, you're very welcome back to the show. How are you keeping?
I'm good. This is like my Christmas Eve now, waiting for this final. All the Olympics nearly over and Camogie's on the agenda.
Somebody's going to have a whole summer of pain at the end of this. It's either going to be Galway or it's going to be Cork. Admittedly, it's probably going to be more painful for Galway if they lose, given it's 3 out of the 4 codes. Out of the 4 senior codes that they'll have lost. Cork, it'll only be 2 if they end up losing on Sunday. But either way, it's going to be a long winter for the entire Gaelic Games community of either of these counties. Is that high enough stakes?
We don't do the maths like that now. Losing is losing at any stakes. I would feel sorry for Galway doing the 3 out of 4. That would be awful. But I think this Cork team, they just have a number on Galway this year. Looking at that group phase game in Parkyheave, Cork beat Galway by 12 points. It was a massive shock, massive, massive shock. And I think Galway went away, came back into the semi-final, had to play Tipperary. And it was a rough ride for Galway. And Galway Cork by comparison had 20 points to spare over Dublin. So if you asked who's having a nicer year, it's definitely Cork. And I wonder, you know, how much pain is in the Galway legs after a really, really tough league campaign and a championship campaign by comparison to Cork.
So how will Galway adapt after that heavy defeat to Cork the last time? What do they need to do to change the outcome?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. That Galway team had actually qualified already when they went to play Cork and Parkyheave. So maybe they weren't actually looking at the game as a marker for their year and maybe just trying to get through it without getting players injured. This Galway team has been decimated by absence, right? We have quality players who've left the Galway setup. The likes of Sarah Durbin, Shauna Healy, Emma Hellebert, Siobhan Gardner. I'm naming half of their half back line or three quarters of it. Cork, by comparison, have only gotten stronger this year. A real addition of the likes of Orla Cahalan, who stepped up for Cork the last day in the semi-final and scored 2-2 when the likes of Katrina Mackey, who's an all-star, Amy O'Connor, who's an all-star, didn't raise green flags. So this Galway team is peppered with experience, but I suppose there's a lot of inexperience there too. And this is probably why they left a lot of chances awry against Tipperary in the semi-final and why the game was so close and why it ended up that Galway only managed to win it at the death, 112-111.
The graph of this Cork team is interesting. So last year in the final, they hockey Waterford, but the previous 2 years, they lose back-to-back finals. So last year, the pressure was really on before that final. Is it going to be 3 defeats in a row? Is that potentially going to be too much of a blow to the confidence levels going forward? If they end up losing 3 in a row, and they say, no, not today, and they put in this brilliant performance in last year's final. It seems to have taken them onto a whole other level, Sarah, that like the confidence fill-up that comes from that performance in last year's final just seems to have given them an air of, look, we are the best team in the country, we are the champions.
Yeah, look, they were losing games by the minimum, but I think the crucial game for them last year was the semi-final. They were on a losing streak against Galway that was unmatched. Galway were their massive bogey team. We were in Nolan Park. They managed to beat Galway by a point. Galway were absolutely distraught. And it felt like whoever won that semi-final was going to win the All-Ireland because of, I suppose, the David versus Goliath nature of Waterford getting to their first All-Ireland final after something like 50 years. And Cork and Galway having such a titanic battle in Nolan Park in the semi-final. Winning that final was the icing on the cake for Cork, but teams find it very hard to do back-to-back. There was a lot of chat at the start of the year about different players in the Cork setup leaving because they had been around the setup for nearly a decade. But actually, the Cork management worked a wonder trick and everyone stayed. So this Cork team have only gotten stronger. And you're right, in the semi-final against Dublin, they were in second gear. Dublin tried their absolute best. There was a massive following there from Dublin. Nothing worse than looking out to the crowd and you're getting bet by 20 points. And that's what it was like for Dublin because Cork were in so much control. They had the game tidied up by 25 minutes on the clock. They were able to empty the bench in the second half. Their substitutes came on. I think they got like maybe 1-5. Like a real statement of intent from the like a statement of intent from the likes of Circa McCartan, Kieran O'Sullivan. Just Cork didn't have any questions asked of them this year in the league or the championship. And I know I had said to you guys that Cork have won most of their games by double digits. Galway, by comparison, have been tested at every stage. Tipperary beat Galway in the league final. Galway struggled through their championship phase and then obviously had that massively tough semi-final. Who is best prepared for an All-Ireland final right now? You'd nearly say it was Galway because they've been the team who were tested.
Well, both teams obviously had very different semi-finals, as you said there, like Galway narrowly getting by with a point win and then Cork hammering the Dubs. You know, what? How does these types of wins affect the dressing room? Like, you know, is there this confidence in the Cork dressing room? Is there a level of complacency because they've had it so easy? You know, what's going on with those players?
I actually think from Cork's point of view, their AVB games might have been harder than some of the championship games they've played this year, such as the nature of the structure of the championship, and the championship will be changing next year. So this is the last time we'll see the three group format. Cork, because they haven't had that test, they've obviously had to use the training pitch and they've found players in that way. And I would say there's massive competition within the setup for starting places. And that's what's probably driving Cork is wanting to get the jersey. And you've players like Maeve Callahan and Libby Coppinger. Libby Coppinger had a really bad injury and she'd step away for the year. But Maeve Callahan is due back. Pity the player who's trying to keep Maeve Callahan out of a Cork jersey because she's determined, you know, to get back into that jersey. That's probably what Cork's motivation will be individually is to try and get their hands on a jersey, which will obviously drive the training when they haven't been getting that competition. From Galway's point of view, it's about getting a team performance because they've struggled so much with that this year. But crucially for Galway, the likes of Aoife Donoghue, Niamh Kilkenny, Niamh Hanafy, like Anne-Marie Starr, these Galway players who've been around the block, they were the players who actually carried Dolan. They were the players who got Galway over the line against Tipperary. So is there one more big game in this Galway outfit? That's the question.
You're definitely, I'm not sure, are you yerring away Cork here to an extent, Sarah, but you're definitely veering towards giving Galway a real fighting chance here and that the hammering that they took in late June is not going to be much of a factor on Sunday.
I'm less yerring and more, I suppose, what's it?
Looking at the facts.
A bit of, I'm being a bit cautious. When you lose to Clare in an All-Ireland hurling final and, you know, Cork were odds-on favourites to win it, you just take a step back. This Galway team hasn't become a bad team overnight. They've had different players out injured. Potentially, they're going to have the run of their lives and come at this All-Ireland final at their absolute best when it matters most. The only difference is, in previous years, you might have had a 3 week or 4 week layover. You'd be able to find more things out. 2 weeks is so tight with the championship that you can't make many improvements in 2 weeks, you know? So you're asking a lot of Galway, especially with the tiredness in the legs, to be able to do a week's hard training and then to be able to taper down and get ready for an All-Ireland final. Maybe an extra week would have given them more of a chance.
When it comes to this Cork team, sir, I was wondering, like looking at Hannah Looney's comments during the week about being a dual player, is the level of the dual player in Cork at the moment still what it once was when you look at this Camogie team? Or is that going the same way as the men's went about 20, 30 years ago, where that started to dwindle away a little bit when people started to realise that trying to balance both was bordering on impossible?
Yeah, actually, Gemma O'Connor had some very interesting comments. Gemma is a double-digit all-star, and Gemma made the comments on RT's podcast a number of weeks ago that she didn't see a place for the dual player in the Cork setup.
Right.
And she apologised to Hannah for that, but she felt that if you're an intercounty athlete, you cannot play and train at a standard in two different sports within a week and expect to get the best out of yourself in both sports. And I would agree, you know, if Hannah's playing Gaelic football and she's away from the pitch and she's away from the training sessions and everything that's going on in the Cork dressing room, the Camogie dressing room, she's missing out. So when she comes back, she doesn't have the same work done as the players who've been there all week. It's a testament to Hannah that she's managed to do it again this season. And she's her form this season has been excellent, and she hasn't put a foot out of place. But she is in a very small minority now. I know that Jerry Wallace spoke as well about Cathal Murray, the Galway manager, targeting the Waterford Camogie players in their quarter final, who had played football the day previously. Right. So in the second half, he targeted, I think it was Clodagh Carroll, and there was one other who he knew were tired and he knew didn't have it in the legs. So he put his fastest players on those players in the second half to drive it home that you shouldn't be playing football on a Saturday if you're playing an Ireland quarterfinal on a Sunday.
It's obviously gone now in men's sport. Like, the dual player just can't exist anymore, and something drastic has to happen. If that's ever going to be reversed, because I think it will be certainly in a nostalgic sense, it'd be nice to see it again. But it seems like something that's probably more important in terms of the women's game right now. So I wonder what can be done. Like, this probably leads us to an integration conversation. We have lost Sarah Donovan, which we'll get her back up there in a second. I'm not sure what happened there. The dual thing is very interesting.
It's really interesting because, like, I guess in terms of, like, if you're a player who's committed solely to Camogie and then you have a player coming in who's, you know, coming in and taking your place, there's fierce competition for those spots on the pitch. Like, it would almost seem unfair. I mean, credit to Hannah, that's incredible. She's able to keep up at that level in both. But if I'm thinking of myself sitting in the dressing room being like, well, I've been here every day. I know exactly what's going on. And she's getting picked ahead of me. Is that a case of she's just a better player? Or, you know, what does that come down to, you know, when you're explaining it to a player who doesn't get picked in those situations, I wonder.
Yeah. Like, there's also the question then of, like, just the increasing elite nature of the sport as well, which obviously on one hand is fantastic that in the women's game has just accelerated so much over the last 10 years. But a byproduct of that in its current setup is that the dual player is probably going to have less of a chance to succeed. And it probably leads us back to a conversation around integration again, when under the same umbrella, the Camogie Association and the Women's Football Association are run by the same people.
Yeah.
Like, Jura's banged the drum here recently quite a lot about separating football and hurling in the men's calendar. That I wonder is actually an experiment for that. An experiment is completely the wrong word, but is a dry run for that almost going to be potentially doing it with the women's sport first, because they are the backbone of some of the greatest teams we've seen.
Yeah.
Certainly the Cork teams have had just such fantastic dual players for so long. It feels like it's worth trying to preserve, and it's too late for the men's game now, it feels almost.
And is that, would you say, to get the best out of those athletes?
I think
to bring
so
on the game.
Yeah, I think
more.
So
yeah.
And I think if you're playing two All-Irelands in 1 year, the exposure for these superstars would be greater. And I think as well, it's probably just the case that both women's football and Camogie need to be given every opportunity to succeed and flourish
and be in that spotlight. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wonder if the dual aspect is actually the way to go about it. So,
and did they stop then the men's game because of the toll on the athlete, or was it
the toll on the athlete more so than anything? I'm trying to think of, like, I'm sure somebody in the comments will think of somebody who has done it more recently than this, but Cork have obviously been the bastions of the dual player for so long. Someone like Aidan Walsh, who would have been an all-star in football and in hurling, I'm pretty sure as well, would have been able to combine both in the 1 year. And there's obviously been a few dubs in recent years who've maybe left the Dublin football panel to join the hurlers or vice versa. But certainly now it's an impossibility. And, like, it's actually Dublin who are the ones that I would think are the ones who potentially suffer from this the most, when they've had players like Conor Callaghan and Dermot Connolly and Cormac Costello, who everybody knows who watches Dublin GAA are absolutely phenomenal hurlers. But the country hasn't seen them at their absolute peak. And Tommy Walsh was on the show once saying that Conor Callaghan is the best hurler in the country, and we've only ever been able to really watch him in an inter-county sense playing for the footballers. We are still trying to re-establish Sarah O'Donovan. We do have a clip, though, here from Davy Fitzgerald, who was speaking to Red FM, I think it was, yesterday. So can we play Davy Fitz? Yeah.
Well, I have you aside. You were formerly involved with the Cork Camogie team back in All-Ireland final action this weekend. You must be absolutely delighted for the girls.
No, I genuinely, they are a fantastic bunch of girls. So they are, and they're very determined. Their work rate, the way they apply themselves. I couldn't speak highly enough about them. Now, some of them be giving out about me and we may be playing a plus one and are doing this and doing that. And I enjoyed it immensely. The application of them is incredible, and even when you look at them, like, they give so much. And when I looked at the fellas, and I think it's like, I think more should be given to the girls, and I genuinely mean that. But they're an incredible, that Cork bunch are an incredible bunch, and in fairness to them, you'd often have bunches that would be given out about you. Or I never came across that. I always found them very genuine and very nice, and I think that's very important with a bunch of players, that they're not going at you behind your back, or they're not they're not like that. The Cork Camogie players are a great bunch, and I genuinely wish them the best of it. Like, I'll always cherish the number of months I had with them, and how well they worked. Like, we came within a puck of winning All-Ireland, you know. But you often have to lose one or two of them to get the few you need to get, you know, and fair play to them.
I wonder what he's talking about there, about players not going at you behind your back. That was an interesting line there. Feels like he's indirecting somebody, but great bunch of players. They've, I'd say Davy Fitz is probably predicting a win for them at the weekend as well, Sarah.
Yeah, Jesus, Davy, I'd nearly send him a bunch of flowers for that. that encourage. Oh, what? Wow. They must have given him a lovely send off. There you go. Let's
leave that one there. But Sarah, like, before we lost you there for a sec, you were in the middle of talking about the dual player, and it does kind of feel that what we were veering towards there is actually a conversation about integration and what actually happens with Camogie and women's football when that does happen, and when they are both under the same umbrella. I made the point to Jenny just a moment ago that Ger is constantly banging the drum for football and hurling being separated in the men's sport, which maybe some people agree with, some people disagree with. But I wonder, is that actually the correct course of action for the women's game?
In terms of having separate seasons?
Separate seasons. The All-Ireland finals are played at different times of the year, and it gives, maybe they can overlap, but certainly when it comes to the knockout stages, if there was no overlap, it just feels that the dual player is more important in the women's game than it is in the men's game, and it should be preserved.
Yeah, look, if you see in, say, AFLW, or if you see in a lot of the Olympic sports across the world, you've the cross coders who play basketball in one season and then they go to the AFLW and play, you know, the AFLW season in Australia. Like, women who are good at sports will kind of commit to three or four different sports, evidently, over the course of a year. So potentially you would see fabulous Camogie players playing ladies football and throwing their lot in if they had a window to do that. But right now there's just such a small minority doing that because of the commitment that's required. If you had maybe, you know, a football season that stretched from, say, February until kind of May, and then a Camogie season that was, I don't know, July to October, that might be the ideal scenario, but then you're looking at the club players and how that impacts the club players. I don't think there's a winner here.
No, there's dual players at club as well.
Exactly. And I just don't think there's enough months in the year to be able to accommodate everyone. So you have a few players burning themselves out, and you've got situations in the club setup then where you're trying to find games, and the clubs can't be competitive because they just don't have the players around the clubs to do it. So the club game, it needs to be considered massively when you're looking at potentially splitting up these structures.
I did want to ask you, Sarah, about the intermediate final at the weekend. It's Cork versus Kilkenny. Like, that's quite striking that these are the two counties. Obviously, it's not their senior team going up against one another, but the intermediate team. Is this a good thing that second teams from the top counties are allowed to take part in the intermediate finals? Do you have any problem with it, or does it make perfect sense?
But it's just with the volume of players that happen to be in both counties. It's probably a lifeline for Kilkenny in the sense that Kilkenny are out of everything bar this competition, which is a bit of a surprise considering it's only the 8th of August. This Kilkenny team is probably the future of the Kilkenny Camogie drive. I don't mean to be negative, but Kilkenny they lost a quarter final to Dublin. They've lost a lot of quality players over the last kind of 2 years. They will struggle to get back up to the top table. And I suppose a final like this would be a platform for them to do that. But Kilkenny have always been in and amongst it. And this is the first year that they haven't been in the conversation at senior level. So it's a lifeline for Kilkenny. From Cork's point of view, you have, I'm looking at the programme here, you've 30 players here named in the Cork senior Camogie team on the panel. You've another 25 with the intermediate team on Sunday. So you've the bones of kind of 60 Cork players who are inter-county standard. If we weren't able to play and challenge for an All-Ireland at intermediate level, where would those 30, 35 players go? What would be their reason for committing to inter-county if they weren't ever going to get to Croke Park? So there definitely has to be a way to allow the counties like Cork have championships like this for their teams to play in, because they genuinely have the numbers. We have Cork under-16s, Cork minors. They have to go somewhere. Right. So I know the Camogie Association are adamant and want to try and remove this competition, or remove certainly the second teams from this competition. But I think it will be to the detriment of the Camogie Association, because you will lose these quality players.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. So Cork-Galway, who's winning this one?
On this year's performances alone, it's Cork's to lose. And if Galway do manage to win it, it'd be a massive story for Cathal Murray, having had to rebuild with the loss of all of the players I mentioned earlier in the show. Cork haven't had the same impact to their squad this year. As I said, they've only gotten stronger. So it's definitely Cork's to lose.
All right, Sarah, enjoy Sunday. It might be a double for Cork. It might make up for all the pain of 2-3 weeks ago.
It won't. I don't lie. Let's not lie.
Sarah Donovan, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.